MoneyWeb now on the money.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. I'm chatting with Rob van Aden, CEO of Scope Markets. Rob, appreciate the time today. Financial education, I think we all agree of its importance. You've put together some points around why it's so hugely important. The one is just, I mean, it's the simple. It's the one we all kind of know in a sense. It really does just empower individuals. If we understand and are on top of our finances, it's an immensely empowering experience.
Simon, thank you very much. I think, you know, financial education, we've known each other for many years and it's been very close to our heart. And we've seen attempts, and I'm using the word attempts in various organizations to get this right. But in terms of the importance, you're spot on. You know, I've got 3 points that I just want to share with you. Mm. I think, as you mentioned, it empowers individuals. I think financial education helps people to make informed decisions, firstly, about savings, investing, debt management. And this leads to a greater financial stability and wealth accumulation in the economy. The other thing that I think is really important about financial education, it boosts economic growth. And we always look at, you know, GDP, but consumers are a big contributor to GDP. A financially literate population supports entrepreneurship, first of all. It supports investments. It supports efficient capital allocation, driving economic expansion and creation. And then the last one, which is probably the closest to my heart at the moment, it reduces systemic risk. Mm-hmm. Educated individuals are less likely to fall financial traps, reducing defaults, economic crises, and burdens on government's safety nets. And we can see it. You know, all the scams that have been going on, it's because people are financially not literate. And, you know, anyone that falls for a scam promising 3% today must be able to do their sums, because that person, if they do it for 3%, would probably be in the Forbes top 10 in 5 years. And we haven't seen any of them.
We haven't. All the folks, it's a great point. All my folks on my Facebook offering me insane returns. They're never on the Forbes list. But I like your point. I mean, we understand, you know, we kicked off with empowering individuals. Absolutely, it does. But it's the bigger picture in that it's actually good for the broader community. And yes, ultimately, it's good for the country if we have higher levels of financial literacy.
Yes. And that's why the FSCA came out last year at their conference. They're actually hosting one next week. Mm-hmm. And they came up with a financial charter. This was issued on the 28th of August. And their goals are basically twofold: to seek initiatives that enhance financial literacy and well-being. And it's very, very important. So this is actually the first step in South Africa to say, hang on, education is very, very important for everyone, including economic growth.
The FSCA, which is sort of the financial regulator, we've also got the education department, we've got the government more generally. Is your sense that the various different departments are doing enough? I mean, it's a long time since I went to school, but when I was there, sure, I was taught math, but I wasn't taught budgeting or anything like that.
No, they definitely not. You know, I think I published a post this morning on LinkedIn in terms of the components of financial literacy, and it's more, you know, it's about savings, it's about investing, it's how do you put up a budget. Taxes, do you understand how taxes work? We all think we do because we pay it. There's a lot more. How does your credit score impact things like that? So I think if you look across the value chain, starting from school, there is a bit of emphasis, but not a much. And then if you and I have worked for very large organizations, there are pockets of education. But the challenge is, in most organizations, it's very fragmented. Mm-hmm. It's not managed well. It's not managed in a continuum to say, okay, we're trying to get people from saving, for example, to investing. But hang on, before we get them saving, they need to understand a budget at least. And this is the challenge in South Africa. So everyone is trying to do it. And with this charter, which theoretically needs to be signed at the end of May, the FSCA is trying to do 5 things. They're trying to adopt a broad approved financial education plan. So financial institutions are encouraged to develop and publish comprehensive financial education strategies, which align with national objectives, demonstrating a commitment to improving financial literacy. This is a first. In our careers, we've never heard about this. And then the second thing, if you look at the charter, deliver target financial education programs This basically, you know, that they need to do involves implementing tailored initiatives and aimed at enhancing financial awareness, because that's quite important, and decision-making amongst a diverse audience, including individuals, households, small businesses, and communities. A third point, adhere to best practice norms and standards. Because the problem is with education, a lot of institutions, a lot of financial service providers view education as a lead generator terms of getting leads. That's a good thing. It's not. They must view it very differently. They must view it as basically it provides stronger customer trust and loyalty. It provides resilience. And a more literate, educated, financially educated person is a lot more for the institution. So that is very interesting in terms of that. And then the fourth thing that the FECA is trying to achieve through this chart is to enhance program impact. And that is basically is that, you know, financial institutions are encouraged to come up with programs in terms of providing this, resourcing it, coming up with strategic partnerships. So the FECA is very clear. You don't have to do it all on your own big bank. You can go into strategic partnership and the integration of obviously digital technology. So they've come up with that. And then the last point they've come up with is prioritize customer financial wellness. And this is also quite an important one, promoting responsible financial behavior and contributing to the overall economic stability. If you look at the charter, you look at the five commitments which they want to achieve, which they want to be signed off in May, this is all for the betterment of everyone in South Africa, because a better financially informed client, if I can use a very corporate word, is a lot more stickier to the organization, bank.
Yeah, they last longer. Ultimately, over the life of the client, you will make more from it. It is sometimes too short-term in nature. Part of the problem, though, of course, is just, you know, you don't talk what sex, religion, politics, and money at the dinner table. It's that people don't like to talk about money. And then, of course, you're going to say you need a budget, and everyone's like, oh, no, really? And the truth is, there are some uncomfortable might not be the right word, but there's some conversations that a lot of us would rather simply not have.
Yeah, and if you just look at South Africa, you know, if I recall correctly, we're sitting with 4% savings.
Yeah.
You know, this country really desperately needs the foundations. And, you know, I'm so glad that the FECA has taken this initiative, because there are other regulators and role players in South Africa. You know, we've seen it as well. Then they appoint a head of research and education, and then a person disappears, and then, you know, it gets lost. And another thing as well, if you look, you know, at the financial results, they spend a lot of focus on ESG. But for me, ESG as well, not, I know the E stands for environmental, but it should be education, because how much are they spending on educating clients? Not for the intention of getting more clients, but for the intention of creating long-term value and keeping the clients in the ecosystem, if I can put it like that.
Yeah, rather than, as you said a moment ago, using it simply as a lead generation incentive.
Yes.
I get what they're doing, but we want the sustainability. And I liked your point. It reduces systematic risk. It boosts economic growth. It's not just good for the individual. It's good for the broader community and for the country. We'll leave it there. That's Rob van Aden, CEO, Scope Markets. Appreciate the time.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management.